Channel One Right, beginning of the visit with Sybil and Willie this Saturday morning, the noon, the 27th of March, 1971. The 27th of March, 1971, Channel One Right, and beginning of the visit with Willie and Sybil. They come for dinner, and come well before dinner. Got here before I got here. This 27th of March, 1971, Channel One Right, Saturday, noon, 27th March, 1971.
We go out there in a minute. Let that wind settle down just a little bit.
Sybil and Mother are catching up on a few little things that Mother's making.
This dead burn thing, Willie, makes too much noise.
Maybe it's supposed to.
Now what? Why? Now you see, this don't make any noise, squeak. But this just, you can't.
Well, I mean, you got a little more in this chair here to rattle than you have in the one you're sitting on.
Listen to that.
Why, he just barking? Hmm. That's the end of your coat.
Look at here. Look at that, Willie.
Oh, yeah.
Look that way.
See, he don't stay long.
And it just bounces his finger out there.
But he is the aristocrat. He don't eat and stuff like some of those things up there.
You take that home, feeding them cows grain. Just flock in there, you know. Sometimes you look around. You know, and the ground look like the ground rose and flew off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you'd be surprised the feed they haul off. Great, they just haul off some feed.
Well, I love to see him eat it. Now you see, he's standing up there on that little post now. You don't have one of those out of your window, breakfast window there?
Oh, no, man. I ain't got time to be watching birds.
Well, you can do that while you're eating.
Time I sit down and eat, the birds ain't even thought about getting out yet.
Well, you know, I woke up this morning at 5:30. And it's just getting light. And I thought to myself, well, now, Miss Daisy down here, she's just rolling out now. and Willie, and of course over there in his community.
They haven't even turned over yet. I didn't get up till 9 o'clock. Well, as a rule, I don't get up anyway until about 9. But I went up Thursday night and worked. The first night I worked this week, I didn't have one night to make. I like 8 hours to have 40, and they don't like for you to have any holding time, you know.
Oh.
And so I had 8 hours holding time, and I claimed 24 hours sick time, so I had to work 8 hours then to make 40 hours, see.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, this Whittington boy went up to work up there, take the old man's place.
Mm-hmm.
He liked 8 hours of having 40 hours in last week. So, the only way that he could build or add to his catch up on that was to work a night for me.
Yeah.
And so I didn't work last night.
What been your symptoms?
Flu.
Just plain flu.
This the first time I ever had. I guess I've had it before, but it didn't last as long.
What?
It didn't last as long, or it wasn't as severe, or whatever you want to call it. It just. Maybe I was just in a running down condition. You see, I haven't had any cold or anything in 2 years or longer. And, I've been feeling kind of run down and bad for a month or two. Ever since Christmas, it seems like I've been, going down. Then all of a sudden, this thing jumps on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You up there where you can expose to a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. But I didn't see Eddie Whittington got it too. And his wife got it where she's exposed to everything. That's at school down at Red, North Marion High School.
Yeah.
She brought it home to him, and then he brought it to the work job to me.
Yeah.
And so, all in all, it's
what did you do? Just have headaches and one thing else?
No, I didn't have headaches that much. I had started off with an awful sore throat, chest.
Yeah.
Pains in my chest.
Oh.
Oh, man, I had and around back here underneath both lungs on both sides.
Yeah.
Man, that thing got hurting me so bad Sunday. Well, today a week back was Sunday. Got hurt so bad I couldn't hardly breathe.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, really?
Got some of that deep heat. Several rubbed my back with it, and it stopped it.
It did?
Yeah, it just about, well, you might well say it made it stop. And then,
it gave you some relief.
Oh, yes. I mean. And then I went to the doctor, and he gave me a shot and a bunch of medicine. I just come by the drugstore, paid for it. I didn't have enough money. I bought me some, bought me some grain to sow. And by the time I got around to paying for my drugs, I didn't have enough money. So I just told a little skin flint down there to put it on the hook, see, and I'd pick it up later. So I went by there and paid $18 just for a shot and two little old bottles of pills. That's a shame. Crazy.
You mean down at the doctor down there?
Mm-hmm.
$18 for a shot and two little boxes of pills.
Right. $18 per shot for two little boxes of pill. I think there's 12 pills in one, and there's 16 in the other, I believe. Either 14 or 16.
Yeah.
I know there's several more than one is the other.
Well, you gotta pay a income tax, you know.
You gotta have something to pay it with.
Yes.
And people, I'm telling you, it's a shame. But, you know, they've been talking about socialized medicine.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, instead of these people getting so rich, just like this druggist down here. He charged me $7.95. That's a little bit of medicine. And it ain't worth it. But you gotta have something.
Yeah.
And you gotta have well, if you don't, even if they give you just a little flour pill, you know, something, a little dough rolled up, a little sugar on it, which didn't cost them hardly, well, possibly one tenth of 1% of whatever they charged you. And but you take it, you know, and you feel like, well, that's doing me good. Whether it is or not, it's a psychological effect.
Yeah,
psychological effect.
There's a little colored water.
Yeah. Just like old man, I was looking at TV here the other day, which I looked at a lot here this week. Ain't been doing nothing. And this old man had been taking these little old, was it pills or liquid? I don't remember now what it was anyway. There wasn't nothing to it. And the old man that, the doctor that had been giving him these pills, went amiss or something, died or got sick, and his daughter, or his nurse, was kind of, you know, helping this new doctor get in the business with his everything. And so she just said, well, so this is, so there's no medical term here for this stuff, whatever it is that he's been giving us, old man. And so she was a lady doctor. So she said, she just quit drinking, then, you know, because it wasn't doing no good. But the thing about it was, it wasn't doing no harm either.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is with a lot of you.
Well, you know, it's so depressing. That's the one thing about getting sick. It's depressing just to think about all that. You're just making people rich.
Oh, yes.
Now, if you wanna just go ahead and divide the wealth, share the wealth, that's the way to do it. Get sick. You know, I've thought about that a lot of times. If a fella could get sick, and I'd have to be burdened with all that doctor stuff. And then if he had something that wasn't catching, well, he could sit back and talk to his friends a little bit. Now, that'd be the way to get sick, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. But it don't come that way.
Well, now, you haven't even felt, have you been catching all week? Contagious?
Yeah, like what?
Have you been contagious all this week?
I wouldn't think so. I think usually it's rude when you such as this is in the beginning of, just like, you know,
yeah.
Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of last week. I think that then was whenever I should have been careful of being spreading it, you know, or giving it to somebody else. I think that's whenever I see it.
Well, when you're there, just sitting there watching television, you don't have the pain.
Oh, no.
And you can talk.
But the only thing is, with me now, I don't know why, but it's still, I'm dizzy. I don't know whether it's medicine I'm taking or.
Oh.
But I can't seem to deal with this dizziness.
Yeah.
And, of course, my chest is still congested. And I don't know why. It looked like usually it's rule most of the time whenever you take a shot, you know, penicillin, it'll clear up. Everything just goes away just fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But mine is not even even thought about going away. And I just about done taking up all that $8 worth of medicine.
Well, now, my experience is if I stay in the house and don't get hot or cold or something like that, my chest don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But you let me step outdoors a day like this, or on a good day, go out there and get hot, and you hear from it. I hear from it.
Well, I think that's what made mine worse. I went ahead and worked Friday night and Saturday night. I should have stayed home.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie Whittington was in such a condition until he couldn't go. He was sick. And, of course, I never had been sick like this before, and I said, well, I'm having my worst troubles right now, and I said, but I still can go. I said, I don't feel bad. I can make it all right. So I called him and told him, I said, well, I'm going up and work for you. I said, I don't feel too bad. And that's when where I made a bad mistake. I should have been home in bed or out of the weather.
Yeah.
And I got up there, and Saturday night I had a chill. I mean, I had a natural one of these old-timey shaking chills.
Oh!
I mean, it rocked me from the bottom up. I said, great, they are sick. I never got so sick on my stomach. And weak, I got so weak I couldn't go. And so I hung around there until about 12 o'clock and I left.
Yeah.
To come home. And I didn't go back no more on Thursday night. And actually, I didn't do anything. Thursday night, I just hung around there until about 12 o'clock to come home.
Yeah.
But the thing that I shouldn't have done was work Friday and Saturday night. I'd have been over mine now. I'd have been in good shape. But like it is, I just asked for it. Undoubtedly, the weather changed awful quick.
Yeah.
Or either was running a temperature and didn't realize it. I left the house Thursday afternoon with just this little thin thing on you can see through it.
Yeah.
Well.
As a windbreak.
Mm-hmm. I got up there and it's 9 o'clock. Why?
It makes so much racket, I don't know how you're wearing.
It does make a lot of racket.
Yeah.
I went out on the, come out that guard shack, you know, to make a round.
Yeah.
And either the wind had got up, it got awful cold. Or either I had a fever, you know, and sitting in that shack with the heater on, I didn't pay too much mind. And then all of a sudden, whenever I walked out, man, I had to turn around and go back. That thing just hit me, and I just went like that, you know, all over. I didn't look like I could hide from anything.
Yeah.
I just, after a bit, after shaking to death, I got weak then.
You never had a chill when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. Long years when I was a child.
Yeah.
Used to have that old fever, chill and fever they call it.
Can you remember?
Mm-hmm. Sick. Ooh, God.
Can you remember shaking?
Yes, sir. And I'd be able to put the cover on me and she'd just have pasta thick, you know. And he'd put pillars.
Just all that cover didn't do any good.
Didn't do a bit of good.
You think it was malaria at that time? I can remember malaria.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. But you can you can almost taste, or I can. The other night, I could almost taste that old fever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But and of course. the way we overcome that was through this old bone set. Everybody in the community had it. Of course, back then, 40 years ago, people was more or less confined, whether they were sick or not, to one area.
Yeah.
They didn't shift like they do now, all over the countryside.
Yes.
We knew everybody, though, in a radius of so many miles, because back then we visited. Come Saturday, while everything was laid aside, and you went around visiting.
Yeah.
And, of course, people helped each other more. But I know this old woman, she was real old. And various ones had this old malaria fever. Seemed like constantly, all the time, they'd have fever. Either they'd be bucking to keep from working or something. I remember their dad say, I don't know whether he's got sickness or not. He just wants people to go around and work for him. Back then, when the man was sick, everybody fixed him, did his work for him. Had somebody go down and milk his cows every morning, every night, feed his chickens and his cows and his hogs and everything, and work his crop for him. And I remember hearing Dad say, sometimes he thought that some of the people, was just wanted somebody to work for. And one man I remember used to say, and you talking about getting sick a while ago, you could just sit back, and enjoy it. This old man, he apparently, from what Dad used to say, used to really sit back and enjoy it. Because he'd know, that it seemed like his crop would get bad, before he'd give up. Or before he'd actually start to putting on the complaints, And then everybody going there, they'd weed his crop out and everything, work it out for him, and then he'd be all right. But this old woman.
Who was that really?
Pardon?
Who was that?
This fellow by the name of Williams.
Have I heard you talk about him?
No, they did. I don't guess there's anybody to that living in that family. They were just an old couple within themselves.
Now, was that the old woman you had, man?
Oh, no. This old woman that had told Daddy about getting this bone set, a weed out of the woods,
Yeah.
And boy, it'd make a tea. She, her name was Leonard, and she would go around, telling people how to get well, kind of a, what do you used to call them women?
The midwife.
Midwife.
Oh.
And she knew a lot about herbs and things,
Oh, I'd love to have talked about it to them, wouldn't you?
Sure would.
You and see, at that time, you didn't appreciate them.
Oh, no.
But now, you'd love to hear what they had to say, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, sir. But I can remember she told Daddy where to get this. You have to go to a wet area, where the ground is wet, kind of springy-like. You find this plant growing. And I never forget that stuff. There ain't nothing in the world any better than that.
Bones, man.
Bones.
Yeah, I've heard the name, so.
Bitter. Ooh, good gracious.
Well, with it, now you can't even get your own family to come help you if your crop needs weeding out.
They say, if you need any help, now just call. And if you need any help, just call.
What's Frankie looked awful healthy over there the other Saturday. He didn't look like he's hurting himself working.
He ain't doing too much right now. His job is on the verge of, it's actually, the old man said, I sold all this cow just about, except 8-10 head. And he only works a couple 3 days a week. The rest of the time he's fiddling around. But
well, that's enough if a man can live on it.
Oh, yeah. But now he had this thing last year, and I didn't think he was ever going over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had a time. Just about bad. Well, I guess he had a little harder time than I did, because he was in bed. In bed for, seemed like close to 10 days, 2 weeks.
Well, what's your old man Zetrower doing with just 8 cows, 8 or 10 cows?
Well, he's got to have a cow around till he dies.
He don't need them.
No, man. He's got some of his choice stock there that he kept out of the herd, you know. Something he picked out just to have to play with, look at. But, you know, he leased his pasture land.
Yeah.
And
well, what does Frankie do over there?
Just fools around. He just goes up and fools around with Albert.
Gets paid for it?
Yeah, I was paying more than that just fooling around. He used to pay him to work. That's right. Frankie worked that for years. $1 an hour. And he's paying him $1.40, $1.50, $1.60 an hour or something like that.
And just fooling.
Yeah, just fiddling around.
How did you ever, now you never hired out to Mr. Zetrower, but you still got in with him on things.
I worked, I still do all the electrical work, and some carbon work, not much, mostly electrical work. And in fact, last, oh, he bought a heater, electric heater warmer, took it up for him, and I did. I don't know, I wasn't up, I think it wasn't up to a par or something, and I hooked it up on 220 and blew it up, I think the heater sold wholesale for about $26, $27. And I knew what the trouble was as soon as it happened. I clicked it on and the little light come on. I said, well, it works. I was in a hurry to get to work for a job, you know. And so, after I left, she turned it on. It just melted the grill off the front of it. So, of course, they get very excited about these things, you know. And the old man comes to the house just raising saying, ooh, he was all upset.
How'd he do it? What'd he do?
Something about the heater wasn't just exactly right. And so I said, well, I'll check on it. And
how'd he raise his hand on it?
Oh, he just tell me that he thought it was in the fault of the company, you know, built the heater. He just, you know, they said I ought to do something about it. And so when I told him, I said, well, I said, it wasn't the fault of the heater. I said, it's the fault of me. What? I said, well, I just hooked it up on 220. And it's 110 heater.
You did?
I said, I sure did. And I said, I've earned it. But I said, I'll buy you a new one. Oh, no, you won't. No. And you know what he done? He went right on that afternoon and bought another one. So that I wouldn't buy one, see. I put it in for him, and I told him, I said, I won't charge you anything for putting it in, and I said, I'm going to pay you for the heater. Oh, no, he wouldn't hear that. No, sir, he'd get upset quick. But if it'd be anybody else to tear it up, if he didn't pay for it, he'd call the law. I don't know, he just had to worry about it. A lot of people can't work for a reason. I give in to him, you know. I know his condition. I know how he is. And if he wants something bad enough, he's going to pay for it. Well, I do it, whoever does it, see. But the thing about it is, he knows that that I humor him. And, like, well, this man come down and painted the roof, charged him, I forgot, $100 and some odd just to paint that roof. Well, the roof wasn't, and I told him, I said, that stuff ain't no good. I said, good hard rain and wash it off. Oh, no, man, guaranteed good. I said, well, I said, I believe them same people done been in trouble with the law up around Gainesville. I said, I think that's the same bunch. They done chased them out. No, he said, this man, he come from over there around Archer somewhere and said, he gave me his address and says he lives over there at Archer. So, about, week or two, three maybe, month, it rained, the roof leaked. Man guaranteed it wouldn't leak anymore. And the rust began to show back through it in spots. Well, he got on the phone and called Archie, called his number, and this number is a phony number, see? And this address is a phony address. But I found out about it, of course he was trying to get the law, you know, to get his money back. He wouldn't say anything to me about it. And so his wife said to me, said, well, said, you know what you was telling said about the paint on the roof, I said. She said, well, so these people were hoax, so they just come through and they beat us out of this money and left. And says, you told Zett that he wouldn't listen to you. And I said, I want you to mention it to him. I said, I won't never mention it to him unless he mentioned it to me. She said, that's the trouble with you. Says, you don't never say nothing to him about what he does, and says, that's the reason he always likes you. And he'll go to you for, a buffer. In other words, if he figures somebody's beating, you know, he'll come to me, you know, ask me what I think about it. But if he figures that I'm going to say, I told you so, he won't say nothing. He's just out of way. He ain't never mentioned that roof.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't mentioned it either. And he knows this. See, he knows I don't give him a hard time or don't say what I told you so.
Yeah.
So he don't say anything.
Well, he was going to take out those windows, those little windows, and put in the big windows. What do you call those?
Take out an orange one, a jalous one, and put in orange one.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, you didn't humor him that time.
Oh, yeah. But he's something. Yeah, he told first, you know, those old windows. I didn't want them myself, but I said something about what was you going to do with them, you know. Said, well, so and so, and I don't forgot now what he's going to do. So, old Jesse knew he was standing there, you know. And so he says something about the wonders, you know, the old Jesse could use the wonders to stop up holes in his walls. And
that's that right?
He says, he just wondered if Mr. Albert was going to use them wonders. I said, no, he ain't going to use them wonders. I said, he don't have any need for them. And so then he takes three of them, have Frankie and old Jesse carry them out to the barn out there, the old truck shed. And for me to get a bull, I think that's what you're talking about. He wants me to buy this bull, or he's got this bull to sell. That's a oddball. And he tells me if I put the wonders in, I never did put them wonders in. Never have. The old wonders in the back of that old garage out there. if I put the windows in, and he let me have the bull for $200, he wanted $360, see. But if I put the windows in, he'd let me have the bull for $250, I believe it was. And something else I do, you know, it kept going on, you know, until finally I get the bull for about $150. Actually, he'd be just as well off to give me the bull and save money. But he goes around in such a finagling way, you know, trying to, he don't want to say I give you anything. And he's stingy. But he don't want to hurt your feelings. If he figures he's ever going to need you, he ain't going to hurt your feelings. Not right off, anyway. He'll wind up, you know, giving you something that don't amount to a whole lot. Or this bull deal now. You see, I got a bull that comes from his stock.
Yeah.
From Frankie.
But not that same bull?
Not that same bull. Now, he was selling those bulls for $360.
Yeah.
But he said this bull had a little something wrong with it. And actually what it was such a little old insignificant something that I just don't remember. But anyway, rather than for him to have to run the bull over, sell it on the market for beef, hamburger, he'd rather sell it to me for $150, see, and know that I'd use it for a stock bull.
Yeah.
But I didn't buy it. Another fellow did eventually buy it. They wasn't paid him $360.
Yeah.
For a stock bull. He's a sport. They all. Now, I never did do too much work for Elwood's brother.
Uh-huh.
They're twins, Elwood and Howard.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then there's one daughter, you know, Eula. Her husband was a school teacher. She's a school teacher there in Canyonville somewhere. Seemed like he worked out at the university. He was some kind of instructor or professor.
I never heard you talk about Elbert.
Elbert lives out in the corner. But I did a little work for him, but you know, Elbert wouldn't use me because Albert used me.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Albert, he don't like, in other words, you might, you know, get your conversation, tangled up between the two of them, but one might tell you one thing and another one something else, get the stores all down.
Yeah.
So you just don't work. You work for Albert. You work for Albert. If you work for Albert, you work for Albert.
They found out that's the best.
That's the way it always has been. I did a little work for Albert. I built some water trolley sheds, you know, and it helps a little bit, but. It don't completely do away with that old growth that comes in water troughs.
Yeah.
It helps, though.
What did you put up?
Built a roof over them, 10 sheet metal roof, you know.
Yeah.
10 roofs over all the water troughs.
Yeah.
He got them, I don't know, I built 5 or 6 different stations where he got water troughs, you know.
Yeah. Well, Willie, wouldn't that be better working around like that for those fellas? There's plenty to do. Wouldn't that be better than hiring out up there in town?
Well, that's true. There's plenty to do. And anytime you work for them folks, you get your money. And they pay you well, but then they just want out of 100.
Yeah.
that'll pay you off or pay you what you charge.
Oh, really?
Most of the people out in that vicinity out there, they still want you to work on that same old basis 100 years back. So.
$1 an hour.
cost of living has gone up way over.
Well, now, you say Albert is, he's pretty much a sport?
Well, in one in a thousand, he's a different sport to what you ever heard tell of. Say for instance, he'd get mad and ready to stand, cuss, and carry on.
Yeah.
He'll pay you whatever he owes you now. But that's the end of it. But you know, he never has. He can't write a check. Ain't no telling how many $100,000 he's worth, and he can't write a nickel worth of good money.
Oh, really?
He went in bankruptcy back before World War II. He never has attempted to try, so I've been told to clear his name. Everything's still in his wife's name.
Is that right?
Right now he'll pay anything he owes, but he won't pay off his old debt.
Yeah. Well, he must owe right smart.
Yeah. So I've been told. I don't know exactly how much I've heard, but I don't remember how much it was. But
$50,000.
I just imagine back then $3,000-$4,000 have been the extent of his debt.
Yeah.
Which he's made. Well, up until last fall, a year ago, he didn't have any cows last fall to sell. But up until then, he'd sell $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 worth of cows. It'll fall. You see, what he does is he gets these experts, you know, on himself, and they grade these cows out, you know, and they have these feeder sales, you know, state feeder sales or state heifer show days, you know, bulls. When they have a bull sale, you know, he'd always have bulls in those sales and heifers. When he'd sell his feeders, he'd have 75, 80, you know, and it'd be just the same thing. He grades them down the same thing. He don't have, everything got to be perfection. Each one looks just like the other. And so, whenever he gets his check, it all looks like there ain't nothing wrong with it either.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way he farmed all the time. Everything had to be just right.
Yeah.
But, anyway, he's made enough money. On one or two bull sales there. Pay off his indebtedness in 1 year. And he worked at this thing since 1940. In fact, right after World War II, he ordered a bull from some part of the country, I don't forgot now where. And when it come, it was the biggest cow anybody in that community ever seen. Never seen a cow. Weighed around 2 tons. Weighed around a ton. 2,000 pounds, let's say. They had to have a special foot doctor to come out there after, you know, while he got to. It was in a different part. It seemed like where he was raised, it was hard ground or something, you know, maybe his own concrete. I would put him out in the soft field, you know, on oats. And it was soft. And it began, his feet began to give way. He had to had to doctor his feet there all the time for a while. I remember. And it was some of the various Black Irish breeders from other parts of the state, you know, was coming in. Albert was a big shot, man. He had a bull out that weighed so much, and people was coming. See, 2/3 of the university was out there all the time looking at that bull.
Yeah. Hell, that turned a man's head, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, sir.
And you was over there, too?
Oh, I was there. Yeah, I was living right down the road whenever he bought it. Right at, well, it was in 48, I believe. 47, 48. I come home in 46. I was discharged in 46. And it might be he got that bull in 47. But,
well, whether you right there next to him or close to him, you could just work in with him.
I worked one fall with him. Not well. Actually, I worked with his daddy that spring, and we made a little money. And then he wanted me to continue to work with him. And I told him, "No, man, that's too bad. If I'm going to farm and I got the sharecropping, I'm just going to quit altogether." Because I said, actually, and this is true, if a man can afford to carry it and make a crop for another fellow that's got plenty of money, how come he can't make a crop for himself when he's broke?
Yeah.
He'd go out and do the same thing. And Albert was needing some help. Albert's health was bad at the time. In fact, then that fall he had a kidney removed. And he wanted me to kind of work for him, you know. I worked by the hour.
I never finished that, I think.
I think he paid me $3 a day peeling around the farm there.
Well, that wasn't too good, was it?
Well, it wasn't too bad. You was paying an eggers too. And, we cooled around then until start about time to plant the fall crop. And he wanted me to plant some squash with him, but I did, and I shouldn't have. Didn't make no money off of it. Went in the hole. And the money, that little money that I made. Now I was going. Let's see, how much did they pay? I believe it's $30 a week on that GI Bill of Rights deal. I was going at $30 a week. I drew that for 4 years. That's where I made my bad mistake. Instead of using that to some good advantage, I just used it. See, I had, they paid me, I believe it was $30, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe $35 a week to go to school.
Yeah.
And you only had to go one night a week, see. And which was big money back then. That was big money. So that was more than I was making, you know, if I'd been hard grubbing it. Well, I was supposed to have some kind of crop growing all the time. And the only way, see, I could draw this was that I had farm property. I had property. And my intentions were to farm, be a bona fide farmer. Well, that was just far wrong, I guess, as anything could be, because, of course, the instructor was just as much or more at fault than I was, or anyway, if any time you did not prove up, any week you didn't prove up, or any month, you could be cut off, see? And they could take that money away from you. Well, they never did do that, you know. I never did know of any that got put out. Some of them never come. I went to school every week. I'd go attend the classes, you know.
Yeah.
And
just one night.
One night a week. And I went at Knitting Senior. Now, a lot of the boys, you know, they'd go just every other week, or they'd go once in a while. And if you missed two nights in a row, you're supposed to end up for 1 week's wages, you know. But anyway, I didn't take advantage of that. I should have, instead of fooling with that, I should have put my time into something else, possibly, maybe. Or either went deeper into farming instead of just fooling along there. And what I did that fall, I worked with Albert, and I wasn't supposed to. But the instructor let me do it anyway, see. And he paid me, like I say, I don't remember how big, $3 a day. Or maybe it's $6 a day.
Yeah. Well, even so, that wasn't as much as you'd get for going to school.
Oh, no. But there was nothing. And that's what I say, I could have been working my place, which that's what they was paying me to do, to work myself in a position where I could work without depending on other farmers or other people.
Yeah.
And instead of that, I was over there renting land from Tom, Dick, and Harry, and going in the whole truck farm. And if I'd have taken that 4 years and fixed up, well, see, I cleared up the first year I was out of the army. I cleared up that little field, that 5 acres there, with a rubber hoe and axe. And I did that part of the time whenever I was drawing that money. But, and I could have got a bulldozer back then for a fourth of what it costs now.
Yeah.
Or less. But I didn't figure I could afford it.
Well, what did you have in mind? Were you just sort of drifting?
Just drifting. And I was doing, when I'd lay my crop by, why, I'd go out and wire houses.
Oh.
And I wired these nigger shacks and things around brush lots, you know, and all around over the countryside.
Get your money?
Yes, I'd get what I'd charge. And, if I'd have stuck with what I was supposed to been doing instead of running around like that, and the instructor knew that I was doing it too. I didn't try to hide it from nobody. He could have had my money cut off, see, and then I would have had to went somewhere where I could have made enough to support my family.
Now, where was you living then, Willie?
Well, I was living over there on the road going to Wapahootie 18 months.
And
then another short while I lived up down the road going to Wood Micanopy from the crossroad, Shiloh.
Yeah.
Little house sitting up on the curve there.
Yeah.
I lived in that house. And I moved from there to where I built.
Now, you haven't lived in your home place there since you was a boy.
Mm-mm. I hadn't, I don't guess I've spent the night there since I got married.
Oh, really? When did you get married?
1943.
When you went
just for about a year before I went to service.
Yeah. Faye?
Yeah.
Can we help you?
No, you can just stay right here.
Well, I'm satisfied right here.
Visit with
making a change, it'll be for the worse.
Oh.
Sybil and Mamu are visiting in there, and Mamu's showing Sybil all the things she makes. And they're just talking big.
Yes.
And I'm going to see about these potatoes and put on a little something we'll eat in a minute.
Do you remember we were sitting on there in your living room, and you got off on something else, and I told you I was still thinking about that, that overhauling the car that we was talking about,
the tractor.
How'd we get off on Joe? Joe Feinbaum.
Brian Park.
Yes.
For that same tractor.
Yes.
Buying parts for that same tractor. I tell you, that tractor business is something else. I got to buy, voltage regulator or either a generator one. I'd rather be the voltage regulator. Generator, if you get an airtight or a dust-tight generator for Ford, I think it's a $50 bill. What I think I'll do is, just pick me up an 06 volt generator somewhere to fit that thing. Old junkyard generator. And when it goes to bed, throw it away and go get another. Although, I doubt this generator's ever had anything done with it since it was built in 1952.
Oh, really?
I doubt it.
It held up pretty well.
It held up extremely well. The old voltage regulator is original equipment. You know, they got a lead seal on those old parts. They used to have them on car parts long back in the early 50s. And that seal never had been broken. Like this, I couldn't prise the part with a screwdriver. I had to take the thing over to the emery and cut that thing off with the emery to get it to the lid to come off to where I could look inside, you know. But I can't tell but what possible it is. Might be a little something. It looks a little heated up in there, but.
You have to have a little gauge to put it on.
Yeah, you need to
check it.
Need a tester.
But you don't have any place where you can buy parts.
Not the tractors. I can buy some car parts fairly cheap, but you can't. It's just hard to buy tractor parts. I don't know. You just can't hardly get them. Without you go, right to the tractor people.
Yeah. And then they stick it to you. I don't know. It looked to me like about all they want to sell to now is to the rich people.
Mm-hmm.
See, down there in your county, you live down there in that rich county.
Mm.
All those horse farms, they don't have to sell to anybody but those horse people.
And they can get fat.
Yeah.
Now what they do, I don't know where they put the old used tractors at.
Yeah.
But them horse people are always buying, trading, buying.
Yeah.
And I don't ever see a used tractor much with any other than something real old now. Ford down there at Ocala's got a 8-in like this you got, painted up just like a new one.
Yeah.
Ain't a dent in it. Got that thing painted up, looks like a brand new 8-in.
Yeah. And it's...
You know how much you gonna want for it?
$2,000.
No, I doubt it was $2,000, but I bet you it was $1,000. If I'd have felt good yesterday, and if it felt so doggone bad, I was gonna stop by there and ask them how much they wanted for it.
They will rebuild one for you. The motor, all the parts, for $500. And the parts cost them.
they probably have to put about. Well, now if they buy sleeves, pistons,
yeah,
and the whole shebang, they have about $100 in parts.
Yeah.
Because, well, no, they won't either. Because now we're speaking about people who can buy wholesale, and they won't have that now. With you, if you went in there to buy a set of sleeves for that tractor of yours, and I'd imagine that thing would run you $50 maybe.
Yeah.
And well, they could go in there and buy the same thing for probably $10.
Yeah. Well, now, well, they ought to be. For a fellow like you, you're sort of got one foot in the business. You've done a lot of that work. There ought to be some place where you could buy.
Well, what do you do your hand like that and everything goes to popping over here? Of this nature, I'm not gonna get out on the knees and beg a man, but I will do it myself.
Yeah, but you don't get much doing.
No. But you niggle.
You remember old Johanna? Johanna had a catalog there that you could order out of, and I checked some of the parts, and it was supposed to be just for. If I'd ordered my name, they wouldn't have sent it to me. But he could order it, and they'd send it to him. But see, services. There wasn't much difference in the price.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't worth the trouble of ordering, you see. I forget what I checked with him on. It was something that was cost a good bit, but it wasn't anything, special to it. What was that? Oh, I don't know, something like a bumper. It wasn't a bumper, but something like that. See, you couldn't go wrong hard on a bumper.
I think it's about time for us to eat a little bit.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Okay, I'll make a little. Get us going.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir, get us going.
Joe, as I told you before, did turn in a favor to you, and got me started fooling with him,
Yeah.
Like that manifold now, that old manifold on that AM busted. So, I went down to Ford place in Ocala and crashed it. And, I don't know, $15-$20 difference from their price and the price of the one I got.
Yeah.
Well, a Ford place in Gainesville is a little higher now than the Ford place in Ocala on account of the difference in Ocala.
I can't hear
over
that.
Let me
get my jacket.
I'm going to
go.
No,
go ahead.
Well, I can do it out here.
Well, put it out better.
Yeah, I ain't going to be better. Because I'm going to have triple watch it.
That's all right. I just couldn't. Good here. And the old Ocala price was less than Gainesville.
Oh, yes. And anyway, they had. You talking about Johanna having a catalog?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Farnbar got a catalog. That's, I imagine, about the same thing. So it's kind of an outlaw looking outfit. I mean, it appears to be, you know.
Well, is this socket out here all right for me to put this skillet on?